Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Yud Ches. We have a little bit more to go in order to catch up from where we left off. We are finishing up Yud Ches Davar. So let's go right into it. Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're counting our way through Yud Ches Davar. We're almost done. The Gemara took us through a Mishnah Zavin. The Mishnah Zavin got us 9. And then we went around Shas, and we're picking out spots throughout Shas where we see a Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. In terms of what is also counted towards Yud Ches Davar, the 18 Gzeiros that were enacted by Beit Shammai and voted and sided with Beit Shammai. So we finished off yesterday the Truma Tameya. The Truma Tameya Gzeira was that Kohanim to have the Truma Tameya. They'd like to eat it. In other words, Truma Tameya, you're allowed to burn it. The Kohen's allowed to burn it and get hanah from it, but you'd much rather eat it. So what the Creative Kohen does is he takes any plants in the ground and outsprouts non-tame food. In fact, it's chulim, but to the Kohen, either way, it's not tame. So it's ingenious, but the Chachamim made a gzera, and why did they make a gzera? So the Gemara's explanation yesterday is because the Chachamim were worried that if we tell the Kohen, go ahead and plant it, so the Kohen's going to say, okay, great, I'll plant it. And then he'll have to wait till season to plant it. Could be that the Truma is going to stay with him for a month, 2 months, could be a half a year. So, and all that Truma Tameya staying with him all that time, someone's going to by accident come in and eat the Truma Tameya. So therefore the Chachamim said, you know what, don't do it, just burn it. Simply burn it. The Idach. We are now on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami, Mishmei De'ula, Af, Mishihich Sheikh Lo Bederech, Nosin Kisla Nachri, Baba Yom Gazdur. Somebody's Machshech. So in other words, it's Friday afternoon and he gets stuck. And he gets stuck in a... in a place where it's Shabbos, and he's carrying his wallet with him. So what does he do? He hands his wallet over to a non-Jew, and that was a gzera, and that was gzera was enacted that day. Now that's an interesting gzera, meaning that's a gzera, right? Yeah. Right. So why? What are we preventing by making such a gzera? So Rashi points out that the prevention over here is the following. We've spoken about this a couple of times. You know that when you're walking through Rishus HaRabim, so you can't carry Dal Amos by Rishus HaRabim. I mentioned this question earlier in the Masechta. How about carrying Gimel Amos by Rishus HaRabim? So that's fine. Right? In other words, carry Gimel Amos, stop. Carry Gimel Amos, stop. So that's fine. And it seems to be, although the Gemara doesn't say this, but it seems to be that that's even Mutal Chatchila. Meaning that's not, there's not even an Issa Durabanan in doing so. There's a mukse issue, for sure. For sure there's a mukse issue. But in other words, just in terms of the Malach HaVotzah, there's no problem whatsoever. So in theory, what this person can do is that he could just simply take his kiss and walk, three amos stop. But obviously the risk that you run with that is that you may walk 4 amos. So the Chachamim said, okay, so if you found in this scenario, so what you're to do is you're supposed to give your kiss over to a non-Jew. In other words, basically not carry anything, so that when you're walking, so you won't run the risk of carrying Dal Amos Rishus Rabim. Okay, I mean, you could conclude from here that, what do you see? You see that L'chatchila, you shouldn't walk Gimel Amos Rishus Rabim. Perhaps that's what you can glean from this Gemara over here. Okay, perhaps. V'idach Amar Bali Amar Avimi Sanvasa. Okay, we're not done yet. We still need more. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara is in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara over here quotes, Pita Shmeinu V'yedem V'nesem Kulam Yirchaz Davarhein. So bread of a non-Jew, oil of a non-Jew, wine of a non-Jew, daughters of a non-Jew, that's all Yirchaz Davar, that's all the Gzer of 18. Now we're going to count this all as one. Meaning this is all one global gzera, but in other words, this because of this, because of this, because of this, and all of it because of Benoseim, the daughters. Now, the Benoseim, obviously, that's Daraisa, meaning correct. In other words, having relations with a non-Jewish woman, that's an Issa Daraisa. So, the Gemara over here doesn't deal with it. Gemara of Avodah Zarah does deal with it. All right, but in other words, but the bread of a non-Jew and the oil and the wine of a non-Jew, so that's Yud Ches Davar. So Hanichal Rab Meir De'el Rav Yosef Shavster Havyan. So the Gemara says, okay, now from here until the Mishnah, it's all accounting. Meaning, so now the Gemara has taken us to Yud Ches Davar. So there are 18. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful. But that only works according to Rav Meir. But according to Rav Yossi, there's not 18, there's rather 17. Remember the machlokas that we saw yesterday between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi about the Maim She'uvim, whether or not that is in fact a gzera or that's not a gzera. So there was a machlok between Rami and Rav Yossi. So according to Rav Yossi, it's not a gzera, so it comes out that you only have 17. The Gemara quickly corrects itself. What do you mean? Oil, bread? What makes oil worse than bread? What makes bread worse than oil? In other words, bread and oil were goes there because of their wine. And their wine because of their daughters. Fine. And the daughters, why? Why is there gzera on the daughters? Because of davar acher, because it leads to idolatry. Right? As evidence in the story in the Torah, right at the end of Parshas Balak, the Benos Midjan were sent to us so that we could be over to Avodah Zarah. So, al davar acher mishum davar acher. And then, in the statement, so that's fine, meaning that all we have already. That's already included in our account. Well, we're looking for something additional, because according to Rav Meir, you gotta throw something additional in there. Sorry. According to Rav Yossi, you gotta throw something additional in there. So the Gemara says very cryptically, here's another gzera. Davar acher because of davar acher. Okay, you can't get more cryptic than that. I mean, that's really speaking in code. So the Gemara wants to know, my davar acher. So, okay, good. Can you enlighten us? What does that mean? Davar acher mishum davar acher. So, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Gazal Tinuk Nachri, Shematame Beziva, Shalai Tinuk Yisor, Ragilat Slob, Meshkav Zachor. So the Gemara says, is that non-Jewish men, or in this case, boys, are Metame Beziva, meaning they give off to Meziva. Now, of course, the whole idea of a Zav by non-Jew is a totally... It's totally N.A., it's not applicable, meaning that Ziva, the Tumah Ziva, is only for a Jew, not for non-Jew. Now that they won't have such a condition, but it's not going to make them Tameh. But nevertheless, a Chachamim Negzera, that all non-Jewish boys are going to be Tameh through Ziva, and the reason why is to create separation between Jewish boys and non-Jewish boys. So that is now an additional Gzera. So according to Rav Yossi, who's taken one out because he doesn't subscribe to the Mayim She'uvim being a gzera, meaning he thinks that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai still disagree about that matter, and there was no capitulation between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So it's from Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai. So Ihachle Rameir Nami Tishrei Sehavian. So now the Gemara says, okay, now but if you plug this one in according to Rav Meir, that means now you have 19. Because Rav Meir thinks that Mayim Shuvim is a gzera, and now you're going to add the Nachri is a Zav, so now you have 19. So Ochel Nekel Shenid Mo Mamashke Mechad Achashiv Lahu. So the Gemara does it's some fancy accounting, and it's not even such fancy accounting. The Gemara just simply says, okay, so the Ochlin and Kalim that becomes Tamei with a Mashkin up until this point, that was from the Mishnah Zavin. Up until this point, we count that as two. So the Gemara says that's really one. It's one Gzera. So now that you count that, you drop that to one Gzera. So then we're back to 18. Okay, it's just these are accounting techniques in order to get to the number 18. Adkan. All right, and that's it. And that is Yud Ches Davar. Okay, it's four blot of just a slice of heaven, where we got to really get involved in the issues of Tumah Tahara, a lot of the rabbinic considerations regarding Tumah Tahara, some other gzeros not connected to Tumah Tahara, but most of them have to deal with the issues of Tumah Tahara. Okay, and with that now somewhat under our belt, somewhat, we move on in the Mishnah, and we continue now in Masechet Shabbos, dealing with the halachos of Shabbos. Let me give a quick introduction to the upcoming Mishnah. Shabbos, we're not allowed to do malacha. Okay, good. We have that straight. And not only are we not allowed to do malacha, right? Who says the full kiddush on Friday? On Shabbos day, right? I do. So you don't have to. Meaning it's minhagim. You just simply need to break a bracha on wine and that's it, or grape juice. But if you say the full kiddush on Shabbos, so you know that you're not allowed to do malacha, and your family's not allowed to do malacha, and the gear's not allowed to do malacha, and animals are not allowed to do malacha. So that means that if you own an animal on Shabbos, the animal is prohibited in doing malacha. Right? Your animal has to be Shomer Shabbos. So you can't muzzle the animal, you can't have the animal do disha, you can't have the animal do any malacha, even though it's not you, it's your animal. Still, there is an Isra of Shvisas Behema. that your animal has to stop doing malacha on Shabbos. Good. So up until that point in time, we're clear. You can't do malacha, and even your animals can't do your malacha. Then what is your animal? Your animal is your property. That's what your animal is. So basically what we're saying is that you and your property cannot do malacha. So Beit Shammai says, let's take it even one step further. Not even can your animal not do malacha, your kelim can't do malacha. Now, I understand that there's a difference between animals and kelim. One's animate and one's inanimate. Right? We understand that. But still, from a possession standpoint, what's the difference? Animals are not people. Right? Although, I have a beautiful book in my house that tells a story about the animal, who refuses to do malacha, and the book is based on the Medrash, and it's a nice book, and it's a nice Medrash. But I'm saying animal's not a person. An animal is your property. And meanwhile, the Torah says that your animal has to stop doing malacha. So Beit Shammai says, okay, let's just bring it to its logical conclusion. Not only can your animal not do malacha, your kelim can't do malacha as well. Good. That's the opinion of Beit Shammai, and this is what's called shvisas kelim. Your kelim cannot do malacha. Now, for Beit Shammai, I understand there's going to be some very basic questions, which the Gemara is going to ask in today's daf. Number one, according to Beit Shammai, how do you light Shabbos licht? Right? It's a tricky question. Right, in other words, right, there's a mitzvah. We're going to the second parak of Shabbos. We're going to spend the entire parak discussing. There's a mitzvah to light Shabbos licht for Shabbos. So, according to Beit Shammai, how do you do that? Yeah, that means that your kelim are going to be doing malacha, the malacha of avara. Good, you do it before Shabbos, but your kelim can't do malacha on Shabbos.
Still doing.
In other words, everyone has to be shomer Shabbos. You, your animals, your kelim. Okay, I'll throw out another question according to Beit Shammai. According to Beit Shammai, how do you make cholent? Right. Your kelim can't cook on Shabbos. Good. I don't mean to silence the crowds, meaning, obviously there are going to be answers to these questions, but when you start off with the understanding that, according to Beit Shammai, your kelim have to be Shomer Shabbos, so, right, it kind of makes sense, but how do you function? Okay, stay tuned. We're going to discuss that. But before we get to that, though, we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Eicharon Diovis, Imanim Vekarshinim, El Kadesh Yisharmi Bal Yom. So basically now what we're going to see is example after example. And the truth of the matter is that I don't know why the Mishnah gives so many examples. You get the basic idea after maybe one or even two examples. But we're going to see one after another, where basically Beit Shammai says, you can't do this, you can't do that, because any time that your kli is involved in a malacha, you can't do that. So let's go through each one of these. So soaking ink and simanim and karshinim. Now, the soaking of the simanim, it's to make some sort of dye. The soaking of the dio, I don't fully understand that one, but obviously there's a point and a purpose to soaking the ink. Okay. And karshinim is what you feed your animal. But it's animal vegetation, but it needs to be soaked in water. Meaning the animals are not going to eat it straight, they need to be soaked in water. So you can only do these activities, only if it finishes soaking, before Shabbos. Meaning that if part of the process, even though you started it before Shabbos, if part of the process is going to continue into Shabbos, so Beit Shammai says you can't do that. Because again, your kelim can't do malacha. And Beisol says it's mutter. Now, by the way, I'm sure everyone knows, but just to be clear, you figure this out by now, but Beisol obviously disagrees, meaning Beisol stops with animals. Your animals can't do malacha, but your kelim can do malacha. So in other words, according to Beisol, as long as you started the process before Shabbos, and you don't intervene at all on Shabbos, according to Beisol, it's fine. So every single time, we're going to continue to say, Beisol says it's mutter. And needless to say, but I'll say it, the halacha falls like Beisol. I'm putting flax in the oven. So Beit Shammai says he can't do it. Now, what does that accomplish? So Rashi says it whitens the flax. Now, what we're going to learn together, that one of the malachas in Shabbos is libun. You're not allowed to whiten something, to clean something. So this oven, placing the flax in the oven is whitening it, cleaning it. So you can't do it right before Shabbos, says Beit Shammai. Unless it finishes already on Friday. And you can't put wool in the pot. You're putting wool in the pot. Why? In order to dye the wool. meaning you've taken the dye, you put it in the water, so now the water is now a dye, and now you're going to put wool in order to dye it, so that's soveya. Soveya is one of the 39 malachas, you can't do it. Now Beisel says it's fine, because again, it's the same issue. As long as you started the process before Shabbos and you didn't intervene on Shabbos, it's fine. Beishami says you can't set out traps on Shabbos. Even though, again, you did nothing. In other words, you didn't actually trap on Shabbos, your traps trapped on Shabbos. But again, it's the same idea. Shvisas Kalim. But Beisel Matir and Beisel says it's mutter. Beishami Army Men Mochin Lanachri, Vein Toanimimo, Vein Magbin Allah, Elakadesh Yagil Makum Karov. And furthermore, Beishami says you can't sell anything to a guy. And you can't even help lift the item up onto his shoulder. And you can't place it on him unless he's able to get home before Shabbos. But Beisel Matir and Beisel says that again, it's fine, because you're not doing anything. And Beishamai says you can't give your leather to a tannery, and you can't give your clothing to a dry cleaner unless they're able to finish it mibo yom. Meaning, because again, it's the same idea. Your clothing can't get washed on Shabbos, even though you're not doing it, even though you handed it to him before Shabbos. So therefore, Beishamai says it's aser. Ubeisol matirin im hashemish. And Beisol says, as long as you handed it to him before Shabbos, it's fine. You can give it to him right before Shabbos. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Let's just finish the mission, and I'll come back to this. Amar Shimon ben Gamliel, no'agin ha'yu beisabish, ha'yu nosim kli lavan lekobis nachri shoshes yamim. White clothing. Now, in the good old days, it took 3 days to launder white clothing. Okay, what did they do that took 3 days? I don't know. But in other words, it was a three-day process. So Shimon Gamliel says that I remember my father, obviously he's talking about Rabbi Gamliel, my father would give his clothing to the dry clean, but only 3 days before Shabbos, because my father was machmir like Beis Shammai. Shoshayamim kodim Shabbos, v'shavin elo ve'elo. Sorry, we'll get to that in just a second. So now you've seen example after example after example. I didn't count in the Mishnah. I think it's about a half dozen examples where Beis Shammai tells you that your kelim cannot be involved in Malach on Shabbos, even though you've done nothing. Even though you're out of the process. You just started the ball rolling before Shabbos. If your kelim are going to do Malach on Shabbos, that's prohibited. And as we'll learn over the course of this morning, it's probably, according to Beis Shammai, we're probably talking about Nisa Daraisa. Sounds that way from the Gemara.
When you sell to the goy, but it's not yours anymore. So what's
of course it's yours. Well, you give your clothing to selling it to a goy. Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
What's the melacha?
Correct. Okay. Well, we're gonna. That's gonna be discussion. Okay. Good. So as long as you started the ball rolling, even if you started the ball rolling, according to Beis Shammai, it's aser. Now again, we hold like Beis Shammai will say it's fine. It's no problem whatsoever. Meaning in all these cases, Beis Shammai said, look, you started the process before Shabbos, you didn't have any involvement on Shabbos, so now you're kelim de malacha, that's fine. It's not even us mid derabbanan, it's totally permissible. Now there's one thing I want to just make clear. Look at that last example that we talked about, giving your clothing to the dry clean. So giving clothing to the dry clean, so again, Beis Shammai says, as long as you do before Shabbos, that's fine. But just another consideration, which I'm sure everyone here is familiar with, which is amir la'akam. Meaning you can't ask a goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. This is the prohibition of Amir La'akam. Now, there's one Rishon that says that's an Issa D'Oraisa, but Kipshuto, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Rabbinically prohibited from doing so. So, what you can't do is that you can't give your clothing to a goy before Shabbos. And by the way, let me just also make this point clear. Amir Lakum is not just on Shabbos itself. Meaning that it's not just simply on Shabbos to ask a goy to do malacha for you. That's not the only prohibition of Amir Lakum. Also included that is before Shabbos saying, can you come over on Shabbos and do the following for me on Shabbos? That's also Amir Lakum. That's also prohibited. So when the Mishnah says over here, giving your clothing to a dry clean, so that he clean it on Shabbos, what Beis Hillel is allowing is, handing it to him before Shabbos. Now, if the guy decides on his own to clean it on Shabbos, that's his prerogative, and he can do so. What you can't do is you can't say, clean it for me on Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel.
You can't say, I will pick it up Saturday night.
If you're going to do it, right, correct. In other words, if you give it to him right before Shabbos, and you say, I'm going to come right after Shabbos, so you're not giving him any choice but to clean it on Shabbos, that's a mere lachem that you can't do. What basically you can do is you can hand it to him, and if he decides on his own to clean on Shabbos, that's fine. You give your car to a mechanic, and he decides on his own, I know he's not going to do it on Shabbos, it's a weekend, but he decides on his own that he's going to fix it on Shabbos, that's fine, that's his prerogative. But in other words, just a consideration is that you can't ask him to do it on Shabbos, but as long as he didn't, so then the Beis Hillel would say, look, it's fine, there's no Isser Shvisas Kelim. One more line of the Mishnah, Vishavan Elu Ve'elu Shetoanim Koros Beis Abad Ve'igule Hagas. There is one point of agreement between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now Beis Shammai says you can't have your Kelim do Malacha. Okay. This is going to be an important caveat in the position of Beis Shammai. Even though, again, we follow like Beis Hillel, but still, just to understand the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says that your Kelim can't do Malacha, but your Kelim can't be do Malacha do Araisa. Meaning what your Kelim can do is that your Kelim can violate Isuri Derabbanan. Okay, so in other words, we are bound on Shabbos to both the Deraisas and the Derabbanans. Okay, we're rabbinic Jews. But your Kelim only have to follow Isuri Deraisa. Your Kelim don't have to worry about Isuri Derabbanan. Now, obviously, your Kelim are not going to worry. It means that you can allow your Kelim to be involved in the Isuri Derabbanan. Now, with that in mind, now we can understand the last line of the Mishnah. Beis Shammai would say that if we're talking about putting a beam over the olive press or a beam over the wine press, that's okay. Meaning, obviously, you're putting it on before Shabbos. And obviously, by doing so, you're going to be squeezing the juice out of these fruit, out of the olive and grapes. Squeezing juice out of olive and grapes constitutes a malacha. And Beit Shammai says, but that's okay. Even though some of the squeezing and some of the pressing and the juicing is going to be occurring over Shabbos itself. The obvious question is, why is it okay? According to Beit Shammai, isn't that a malacha da'araisa? So Rashi over here writes, you can see the Rashi inside. Umefaresh mishum. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is going to discuss this, but I'm explaining it now. I'll explain it again tomorrow as well. Umefaresh, I'm in the middle of the Rashi of Shetoanim. After lines get narrow, I'm about 5 lines down from there, and the Gemara's explanation is the Inami Avilu b'Shabbos Leika Chiyuv Chatas. Even if I were to do this on Shabbos, meaning take the big beam. Yeah, you ever go to a, you ever see how they press olives? So there's a very heavy, thick beam. They place it over the olives, and it presses the olives. Even if I were to do that on Shabbos, that is not an Isser de Araisa. Because it's true pressing olives and grapes is an Isser de Araisa. It's an Av Malacha. That's only talking about olives and grapes that were not cut or crushed before Shabbos. So then, in other words, it's pressing whole olives and whole grapes. Because then you are extracting that which is inside. Vihi tolada de dash, which is a subcategory of the malach of dash. Avahacha ein nosten kara agabe zaysim achetochnin tchila. But that's not how you make olive oil. The way you make olive oil, says Rashi back in the good old days, is that they would first cut the olives up. So now these are not whole olives, these are now bits of olives. Then you put it into the press. And the same thing is true with grapes, says Rashi. V'chein enav in dorchen osam tchila beregel. Uvalav karanami mashke nafik mimela. Eladano nafik shapir. Ki hashte velodam eladash. All you're doing now by putting the board on and putting the press on is now you're just extracting more. But the extraction has already begun. Extracting more is not in Issa Daraisa. It is only in Issa Darabanan. And again, you're not talking about you. You're talking about your Kalim. Your Kalim can be involved in Issuri Derabanan. Okay.
This is my question would be, is it that you had to do it during that time, or you couldn't have waited until...
That's just simply how it's done. It's just simply, this is just a pressing process. It doesn't seem that way. Okay. We start with the Gemara Mantan and the Sinas Manipul Diyozui Shri Asam. Now, so, by the way, once we know this, so you're really forced now to go back to the Mishnah, and you have to look at every case in the Mishnah, and you basically have to come to the understanding how every case is not just an Isser, but it's a Malacha D'Araisa. Meaning, right? Once we have these guidelines of Beis Shammai prohibits your kelim doing Malacha, but only Malacha D'Araisa, not D'Rabbanan, every case in the Mishnah, by definition, has to be a Malacha D'Araisa. Okay, so that now forces us, look, we don't pass like Beis Shammai, but at least now it gives us clarity after looking at each one of these cases to understand how and why is that a Malacha D'Araisa? So the Gemara starts off, Mantan Nisiyan Zman L'Diyozui Shri Asam. So let's take a look at the very first case of the Mishnah. Very first case of the Mishnah was that you're not allowed to soak Dio. You're not allowed to soak ink in water. So Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe, he did Tanya. This is the opinion of Rebbe. Now, again, the soaking the dye, I don't fully get it. Meaning, apparently, I'm not informed enough. But in other words, the way that the D.O. worked, the ink worked, is that the ink was like some powder. You dissolve the powder in the water, and now you got ink. Okay, that's how they made their ink. So, and good. And now, what malacha is that? Okay. So I also struggled. Meaning, when preparing the Gemara, what malacha is that? Ni'ah. So that's what the Gemara is going to suggest. The Gemara is going to suggest that that's the malacha of kneading. Now, for all us kneaders here in this room, I'm not one of you. But for all the kneaders here in this room, so. That's not kneading. Meaning, kneading is getting your hands dirty. Meaning, kneading is not just pouring water onto the flour, but kneading is pouring water in the flour and then sticking your two hands in and kneading. I mean, isn't that the very definition of kneading? So what essentially now the Gemara wants to know is, who's our Mishnah? Meaning that all you need to do is just add the liquid to the solid, and that's already a malacha. So the Gemara says, there is an opinion out there that holds like that. And not just a opinion, Rebbe. Did Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Echanosin is a Kemach, Echanosin is a Maimachron Chayav, Divrei, Rebbe, that if somebody puts flour into a bowl, and then the second person just adds water, that's it, just adds water, that second person violated Shabbos. The Araisa. Right? Chayav, every time you see the word Chayav, that should jump right out of the page. Chayav means it's a Malacha D'Araisa. So according to Rabbi, you violated a Malacha. Which Malacha? Lush. That's kneading. Now Rabbi Yossi, Amar Inah Chayav Ashi Gabel. Now Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not kneading. That's only the first half of kneading. Not even the first half. I don't even know what fraction to give it. But in other words, that's not kneading. Kneading is when you take your hands and you knead. That's kneading. So, you see a machlok chin Rav Yossi and Rebbe, but at least according to Rebbe, what do you see? By the way, how often do you see a machlok chin Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi? Good. It's good. You really start getting sensitive to these things. So, on the side of the Gemara, it's Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, got lost in my thoughts. Anyway, but the point is that's according to Rebbe, just adding the liquid is considered lush. So it could be now that our Mishnah subscribes to the position of Rebbe. Good. So which, by the way, is fine because, you know, our Mishnahites are edited by Rebbe. So it works. Not always. So Amalei Abai V'demad Kalo Kamer Rebbe Yossi Ela B'Kemach Tavar Gibuhu Avad Yod Olav Bar Gibuhu Emalei Chayev. So maybe we could say that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Yossi. Because even though Rebbe Yossi says when it comes to flour and water, you're not going to be chayev until you get your hands dirty, that's maybe by flour because flour is meant to be kneaded. But maybe the ink powder and the water, maybe that's different, and maybe Rebbe Yossi would agree. It mixes on its own. Right. So, Lo Sakadacha, the Tanya, the Gemara says, well, no, I wouldn't I wouldn't suggest such a distinction because I'll show you another braisa. Echanos in esa efer, echanos in esa mayim. Someone puts the ashes and someone puts in the water. Now, what is he making over here? Some sort of paste, right? Ashes and water. I don't know. Maybe it's adhesion.
Paraduma,
right?
Could be talking about paraduma, not necessarily, but could be. Either way. But the point is. It's as Rashi makes this point clear, it's lav bar gibelhu, meaning the ashes and water are not something that usually get unified. So achron chayev divrei Rebbe. So the last person is going to be chayev Rebbe Yosi. Rebbe Yehuda omer achi gabel. Okay, good. And this supports the correction that we made earlier. It's not Rebbe Yosi, it's Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Yehuda. But anyway, achi yigabel. So no, in other words, not until you need it. So the Gemara says, good, so what do you see over here? That even if it's something which is a lav bar gibel, something which is not normally needed, you still have a machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef and Rebbe Yehuda. So here too, it would still be a machlokus, and therefore our mission would only subscribe to Rebbe. So the Gemara says, V'dema ma'efer afar davar gibel hu. So, but maybe that Bryson, when it said the word afar, who knows? Maybe he really meant afar. I mean, the difference between them is an akuda and an aleph versus an ayin. And you know we don't know the difference between aleph and ayin. Some of us do, but not as Ashkenazim. So afar afar davar gibelhu v'atanya afar v'atanya afar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I can show you two brisas. One brisa says afar, the other brisa says afar. Midi gabe hadad etanya. Yeah, but did you ever see those two brises in the same room together? Meaning, you don't know if those two brises actually represent two separate brises. Meaning, it's possible that off by afer we meant offer, by offer we meant afer. So in other words, it is possible that even by afer it meant specifically offer. And so this is only going to be true by a davar gibel. But it's something which is not normally blended together. If the liquid and the solid are not normally blended together, so then maybe there would be an agreement of mind between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Yehuda. Okay. By the way, it is an important discussion which we had in terms of what is a malacha of kneading. Because, right, under certain circumstances, right.
The sugar in the water.
Well, sugar and water is such a right. That's a solution where you're not really binding. Yeah, meaning lush is really the act of binding.
The sugar disappears.
Yeah,
the thing would be the same as the yogurt.
I'll tell you where it comes up practically on Shabbos. In other words, when you're making hot cereal. Well, there's an issue of cooking also, but in other words, right, the oatmeal, right? That's gibel. Meaning, in other words, there you're really binding.
How about black coffee, where how the Israelis make it, where the coffee?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, but it comes out that, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, just the contribution of water already is the malacha, the araisa of gibel. Tanu Rabbanan, let's continue the Gemara. Poskim mayim legina erev Shabbosim chashecha umismal eles. Sorry, did a terrible job reading it. Veholeches kol hayom kulo. So you can start the irrigating before Shabbos, meaning set your sprinkler system up before Shabbos. It's fine. Umanicha mugmer tachas hakelim, and you want to put the mugmer under your kelim. They deodorize their clothing. It's smart. Meaning your clothing smells good. So we have deodorants for our body, which they had as well. But they had deodorants for the clothing. And what they would do is that they would burn this incense, and they would put the clothing right over the incense. And it was so now you basically had deodorized clothing. You can do that if you start the process before Shabbos. Umidgamrim v'holchin kol hayom kulo. And let it continue going on over the course of Shabbos. It's fine. Umnichin gafris tachas hakelim. And also, gafris underneath the kelim. Rashi says you're putting sulfur under your silver. It's ma'ashne megafres vehim mashchiros v'nikaros. It blackens the silver. It gives the pictures on the silver form and design. It like highlights the pictures. Okay, let me be perfectly honest. I'm not really sure what I'm describing over here, but you get the basic idea. Right, it highlights the art.
Highlights, sure.
Okay, I kind of understand. But the point is, again, it's the same point over and over again, that as long as you start the process before Shabbos, it's fine. Now, putting some sort of ointment on a cut before Shabbos. Now, rubbing an ointment on Shabbos itself, so that may be a malacha d'oraisa. In fact, now, from the braisa over here, sounds like it is a malacha d'oraisa, but as long as you start the process before Shabbos, and even though it continues to oint on Shabbos itself, anoint, whatever the verb is, but you understand. It's fine. In other words, as long as you start the process before Shabbos, it's fine. Okay, the only thing you can't do, meaning, so basically now, again and again, I mean, we're really hammering the point home today. As long as you start the process before Shabbos, it's fine, because we subscribe to the position of Beis Hillel. Shvisas Kelim is mutter, and there's only one instance in this entire Braisa where it says you can't do. And that is, you can't have your mill milling on Shabbos. Now, I would say it's mechanical, and not would say, it is mechanical. I mean, nowadays we learn how to use this thing called a combustion, and we have an engine, and so, okay, fine, so we have modern powering, but back in the good old days, they powered using water. So in other words, they would have a mill run by water, so this you can't do. And this is Beis Hillel. You can't have the mill milling on Shabbos itself, even though you started the process before Shabbos. My taima, I'm a rabbi mimnesha mashmas kol. So Rava says the issue is because it makes noise. Now making noise, and so what? That it makes noise. So on Shabbos is something that produces a noise. It's like it's a bizayon to Shabbos. It's an affront to Shabbos. Now to say that this is nisr daraisa doesn't sound like it. Meaning it sounds like basically what the chachamim did is, look, we are going to certainly subscribe to the opinion of Beis Hillel that your kelim don't have to be shomer Shabbos, but any time that you're having sound and noise being produced from your house, so that's an affront to Shabbos, so that the Chachamim don't want. So the and it's Asr. In other words, that you can't do. I know it leads to a lot of very practical questions. You know I'm not the person to speak to. But in other words, having your dishwasher run on Shabbos, on a timer, meaning you're not doing anything. So is that Hashmas Kol? I mean, I guess it depends how fancy
you're filling. You're not filling.
I'm just dealing with the Mashmiya Kol issue. Meaning, I'm not dealing with it. I'm just raising awareness. Meaning, is that Hashmas Kol? Because
children.
Yeah. Right. Or the dryer. Right. In other words, good. In other words, all very, very. In other words, it really forces you to ask. Meaning, good. I know my kelim can do malach on Shabbos, but Where exactly is the threshold where it's a violation of Mashmas Kol? I'm not answering the question, but I'm raising awareness of what the issue is. Now, Rav Yosef, it's interesting. Like, Rav Yosef, the Gemara now for the next, like, about 10, 15 lines of Gemara is going to consider that maybe we should worry about Shvisas Kalim. We all know where the Gemara is going to go with this, meaning Shvisas Kalim, that's Beis Shammai, that's not Beis Hillel. But at least for the next dozen lines of Gemara, we're going to entertain the possibility that maybe we also have to worry about Shvisas Kelim. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brayso v'chol asher amarti alechem tishmeru. And what's the key word over here? Uvechol asher amarti. You know that word kol means everything. So l'rabo Shvisas Kelim. So that comes to include even not only do you have to be shomer Shabbos, not only do your animals have to be shomer Shabbos, which is all stated explicitly in the Torah, but even more than that, what could be more? You're Kalim. The Hashad Amar. So, Elam Rav Yosef Mishum. I'm sorry. Elam Rav Yosef Mishum Shvisas Kalim. So Rav Yosef says, you know, I understand. What's the problem? The problem is Shvisas Kalim. Meaning your Kalim have to desist from doing malacha.
And the other cases.
Oh, the Hashad Amar LeBeis Hillel Islu Shvisas Kalim Daraisa. So now, again, we're gonna. This is all in the world of we're just entertaining a thought. Mm-hmm. But at least in the moment while we're entertaining this thought, that even Beis Hillel subscribes to Shvisas Kelim. So just like Phil asked, what about all these other cases where Beis Hillel continue to say, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine? How can it all be fine even if Beis Hillel holds the Shvisas Kelim? Gafris of Mugmar, my time is Sharim, Mishum Delokav and Maisa. Well, your Kelim are passive. So in other words, what we're going to do is we're going to try to make this distinction where passive malacha done by your Kelim, that's fine. Active malacha is done by your Kelim, that's a problem. And so your pot is involved. Sorry, your oven is involved in the bleaching of the flax. Well, your oven's only passively doing malacha, not actively. So nicha a mitzvot chayev of dagim the kavin ma'isa my time isharu. Well, what about the traps? That's not passive, right? Think of the bear trap. I know that's not what we're talking about, but just think of the bear trap or think of the mouse trap. Meaning, right? It puts his foot in, boom, boom. So that's not passive. Hasamnami balechi v'kukare delo kavin ma'isa. Well, the Gemara says what we're just talking about: nets, where they're trapping, but they're trapping passively, not actively. Good. So this is where now the Gemara, for a moment, entertains the idea where Beis Hillel does subscribe to Shvisas Kelim, and then we're going to have to try to make some sort of fine distinction between the cases where Beis Hillel says it's okay versus where he says it's not okay, and what the proposed difference is, active versus passive. V'hashadam Rav Hoshi Amar Rav Asi Mantan Shvisas Kelim Daraisa Beis Shamayi V'lo Beis Hillel. But now the Gemara says, okay, enough. Meaning, let's go back to what we know and what we accept. It's not Beis Hillel who subscribes to Shvisas Kelim. It is Beis Shammai. So basically, we don't have to now construct any type of distinctions whatsoever. Meaning, Beis Hillel will always allow your Kelim to do Malacha. And there's no distinction between passive versus active. It's always going to be okay. The only consideration is Hashmas Kol. Can't produce too much noise, which is the last case mentioned in the Braisa. So now the Gemara asks the question which I started off this whole discussion. Lebei Shammai ben kavin maisa ben talo kavin maisa aser. Lebei Hillel afagav de kavin maisa share. Good. So that's where we're ending, not ending the daf, but in other words, that's the accepted position. For Beis Hillel it's always mutter, and for Beis Shammai it's always going to be aser. Wonderful. If that's true, top of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Mugmer v'gafris, my time with Sharu Beis Shammai. So we'll start off with really easy questions. Mugmer and gafris, right? Why would Beis Shammai say it's mutter? Meaning, the Braisa, which we quoted on the previous Amud, says that fragrance in your clothes, deodorizing your clothing on Shabbos is fine, and we're saying that that's Beis Shammai. How does that work? So the Gemara says, Hasam Manach A'ara. So interesting. Even according to Beis Shammai, there is going to be a limit to this idea of Shvisas Kelim. It has to be, according to Beis Shammai, a kli. If it's not a kli, it's fine. So in other words, the deodorizing of the clothing, it was done on the ground. The fire that was produced on the ground, and even Beis Shammai would say that's okay. Gigis v'ner v'kederu shpud ma'itam sharu Beis Shammai. Now we get on to the next question, which is what I raised in the beginning of this whole discussion. Now, for all you beer makers out there, so how would you make beer? So you soak it, and you soak it for a while. Lighting a candle, and cooking food over Shabbos, otherwise known as our cholent, and the shpud, and roasting, which is all, even according to Beis Shammai, allowed to be done going into Shabbos, but how? And here it's all done in Kelim. How does it work? In other words, I'm going to just restate the question as I restated earlier. How is Beis Shammai going to light Shabbos Lecht? How is Beis Shammai going to have a cholent? Cooking over Shabbos. My time is Shara Beis Shammai, demafkalu afkure. And unbelievably, according to Beis Shammai, what you're going to have to do going into every Shabbos is, I'm lighting my Shabbos Lecht, and I'm declaring the lamp to be ownerless. It's unbelievable. It's when you really think about it, I put my children up right before Shabbos, and my last act before going into Shabbos is, do you know that I'm no longer the owner of this chom pot? It's not my pot anymore.
If later on Shabbat you go out to use that food or product, you're actually declaring ownership and changing status, no?
You're making a kinyan on it? It's not a bad question, I hear that. I mean, Tosos over here is bothered by other technical questions, like, you know how Hefka works. Hefka has to be done in front of a basin of three. Meaning you just can't simply say, I'm mafkir. In other words, there has to be a formality to Hefka. So how does that work over here? Meaning, look, we don't pause like Beit Shammai, so for us it's academic. Let's say it better. It's not academic. It's Torah. This is part of the corpus of Torah. But in other words, living life Shabbos practically, according to Beit Shammai, it's really tricky. Well, you now have to think every Shabbos how not only you but your animals and your kalim all have to be shomer Shabbos. So now you deal with some of these most basic questions of how are you going to light your Shabbos lecht? Okay. You'll require it after Shabbos
unless someone runs in before you.
Right. Right. In other words, and according to Beit Shammai, someone can go into your house. I mean, it's your property, so no. But I'm saying, if technically someone can help themselves to your children, well, what are you doing? Well, it's not your children. Meaning it's just the pot, it's not the food?
It's like the children's on the floor.
Okay. Anyway, I
don't think it's the children.
Maybe.
No, I just want your pot.
Correct. I'll just take the pot. All right, anyway. Mantala had the Tan Rabbanan. Okay, and let's do some more for today. Lo tamala isha kedera sasias v'tormasim v'taniach l'tocha Tan Rav Shabbos im chashecha v'im nasal l'motzei Shabbos asurim b'chtei shiasa. You cannot put up beans and termusin. You're going to see termusin come up again and again throughout the Masechta. I don't know the English translation of it. It's a...
Types of beans?
It's a tough nut. Okay, you'll see this. We'll go in third parak, I believe. We're going to talk about this. Whatever. It's a tough nut. And you can't do that and put it in the oven right before Shabbos. And if you do so, and it cooks over Shabbos, you can't even enjoy it on Motzei Shabbos until Kedei Shiasa, which means that the amount of time that it takes necessary to cook, any of that cooking over Shabbos, you got to now wait after Shabbos, and the amount of time that it takes to cook. In other words, all that cooking time before Shabbos, you can't benefit from that. Kayotze bo. Similarly, lo yemalai nachsu mechavish almayim v'neich l'tocha tanur ayur Shabbos im chashecha v'yim asakein l'motzei Shabbos asurim b'chtei shiatsu. So, and water as well. Putting up a pot of water right before Shabbos, having a cook over Shabbos, that you can't do. That's the end of the Braisa. Lema, now the Gemara suggests, perhaps, Beit Shammai Hivu lo Beis Hillel. Now maybe this Braisa is authored by Beit Shammai and not Beis Hillel. And now we move on to an extraordinarily important point, even in terms of Beis Hillel. Afilo tema Beis Hillel, gzera shem yichat b'gachalem. Okay, critical line of the Gemara over here. Even according to Beis Hillel, your kalim don't have to be Shomer Shabbos. But the Chachamim worried about you. And you being Shomer Shabbos. Meaning, when it comes to food, so you know how we Jews are when it comes to food. Okay, need I finish the sentence? Okay, and so the problem and the concern always is that if I have a food that I put up right before Shabbos, so even though, did I do anything wrong? The answer is no. And my kalim don't have to be Shomer Shabbos. So far, so good. But the Chachamim were concerned that, right, the fire's not hot enough, I'm going to need to stoke the coals after Shabbos has begun, and I know it's Shabbos, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I got guests coming tonight, and so the Chachamim worried about Shema Yichata B'Gachalim. And so therefore, when it comes to food, there is this rabbinic concern of, I may come stoke the coals. Now, so the Gemara says, how about non-food items? So the Gemara says, Hasam lo machtu lohu, di machtu salak bu kushu v'kashu lohu. The Gemara says, look, when it comes to deodorizing your clothing, if you try to stoke your coals in order to have your clothing get more deodorized, It's only going to produce smoke. In other words, there's no incentive where you're really going to want to do that. Onim shel pishta nami ligzer. How about putting your flax into the oven? Hasim kevin dikash lo zika lo magalele. The Gemara says there, you're not going to want to open your oven, because once you open your oven, the air is going to go in. The whole bleaching process is going to get ruined. There's no incentive in terms of you opening the oven. Semele yara ligzer. Amashmol biyara kura. So the Gemara says, what about putting the wool in the pot in order for the wool to collect the dye? So the Gemara says, we're talking about Yorakura. It is a pot that is above the fire. So Venechashem and Megisba, the Gemara says, well, aren't we worried about stirring it? About Kura Vitocha, it's not only above the fire, you took it off the fire, but you also sealed it as well. Let's stop right over here. Okay, so in other words, so this is an important point. We'll talk more about it tomorrow morning as well. Once we've taken into consideration this idea that when it comes to food, the Chachamim were worried about, even if you put it on right before Shabbos, you're going to stoke the coals because you're worried about the food, the cooking, the guests that are coming tonight. So now essentially what we're going to talk about, practical halacha, real practical, is under what conditions are you allowed to put the food up on Shabbos right before Shabbos, now that we have this other concern of Shem Yigachat V'Kachalim. Summarize very quickly today. We pass like this. So, Shvisas Kalim is Mutter. We have two considerations that we learned today. Number one, if it produces noise, that's going to be an issue. That's Hashmas Kol. Number two, if it's a food, that's also going to be an issue as well because of Shem Yigachat V'Kachalim.